Turn to Micah 7:7, chapter 7, verse 7 first. But let's see here. Go over here and look. Let me read you something here first out of 1 Timothy. And I'll just read this to you, then we'll get over there and we'll look and see. And I guess after this last trip down to Houston, they left me with some decisions to make. And not saying they're bad, but just in no way say, oh, when you hear that, you think that's bad. Well, I'm fortunate to have decisions to make. As one the doctors pointed out, we got to see, I guess, three different ones. And as one pointed out, he said, you've got decisions to make, which is good. Not everybody does. And so we just have to do that. But just the title, I guess, of the lesson this morning is what to do or while waiting on God. And I got like 8 or 9 things to look at. So while waiting on God, some things for us to remember. But before we do that, let me read over in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, because one of the reasons why they said I had some decisions, they said, my age, which, you know, we think we start getting old, I guess, when we get over in our 50s. They said you try to, you know, eat right and try to stay mobile and try to go to work and try to do things like that. And I do try to do that, but that's only by the grace of God I'm able to do that. And as I think over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, as I look at that, it said, for bodily exercise profiteth little. And I went back to that a lot, and I said, well, that means it does profit something. You get a little bit out of bodily exercise, but it's very little. And I told Kim that one day walking going down the road, because we were always joking around that, you know, she'll tell you this to herself, that she'll go to Pals and you should drive down to the mailbox and then back up the driveway. And I'd walk to the end of the mid-driveway and get the mail and come back and try not to eat at Pals, even though I do like it, and I'd try to eat, you know, something. And we'd laugh and joke about that. And then when she'd go to the doctor, her blood pressure would be 105 over 60. And they've even asked her before, well, you must run marathons, you know. They would. They'd ask her, like, your blood pressure's so good, your cholesterol, we can't even measure it. You know, we're going to take another sample because, you know, she just don't have it. And, you know, they'd measure mine. Mine'd be, you know, 200. Oh, if you get any higher, we're going to have to put you on one of them cholesterol medicines. You know, we'd always laugh about that. And we have since we've been married. It's the opposite of what you think, you know. And so I'd tell her, I'd say, well, bodily exercise, I said, you know, it may profit you some, and we know it might, but compared to eternity, it's very little. It's not going to save you, in other words. It might keep you going a little while you're here physically, maybe arthritis or whatever. It might have to keep some of the kinks worked out. But over time, that's going to overtake you. But it goes on to tell Timothy here what's really important. And that's what I thought about, too, while I was down there. So I thought about that. So for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, that's what is worth something. Because you take that word profiteth, you mean, not only will we think of profit, sometimes think of making money or worth something or some value. And so what he's telling us here is that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, so that everything in our life concerning God, and in all ways. So having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. In other words, as we look there and see that, and going back to Kim and I's example, I may say, yeah, we need to get out and exercise every now and then, or maybe we need to walk to the end of the driveway and get the mail out of the mailbox and back. That was worth very, very, very little over a short period of time that you may have. But it's more value in walking over to your neighbor, maybe being a witness to them, testifying. Maybe coming into the church or being a witness, or on a job place, or visiting someone that's in the hospital and sick, or maybe just being a witness to somebody on the job place, wherever you're at. That's what's profitable. And I could go on and on because it said to all things there's profit. Now you said, well, I've been on an exercise program. Brother Brian told me just to quit. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because it also says there, it says profit is little. So there is little profit in it. But over time or eternity of our life, it's not worth anything really. But the value of what we do for the Lord, there's profit in that and for our lives. And I just wanted to mention that and point that out. This morning that came to my mind, it came to my heart. I thought about that, and we can go on and look, and we can go on, like even over in verse 12, I'd made a notation before, let no man despise thy youth. I went back and looked, and the reference there for that youth, most scholars believe, whether it's right or not, that they'll go back and said that usually is anybody less than 40 years of age at that time. So you think anything after that, as we look here and as the word is given, said that for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And that's working for the Lord. So anyway, just share that with you this morning. Let's go back over to Micah 7. Won't be before you long. As Brother John says sometimes, he says we'll just see what the Lord has for us and we'll get out of the way. And won't be trying not to tarry long and may not be up here that long at all. But while waiting on God, and so I this morning and had gotten up and got back from Houston, and I thought, well, what's the scripture say in just different places when we need to, maybe we're waiting on answers from God, and sometimes they're expected or unexpected answers that we want. We look for hope in His Word, and I've just got some little notes written down, but places we'll go back and look. We need to resist fretting and resist being angry sometimes and be still, be patient. And that's hard to do in life sometimes. Experience God's goodness. Be still and experience it. But in Micah 7:7, and this, of course, we look at the moral sins of Israel, and I guess looked at it first, and just remember that God does hear us. And if you're going over and looking at verses 8, 9, 10 there in Micah chapter 7, which we're not going to read those, you'll see that God does hear them. And God had a concern for His people or for Israel. But in Micah 7:7, it said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In other words, he had confidence in that he would. But you notice the key word there again. He said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So not only says he's going to wait on him, he says, I know he's going to hear me. And Mr. Grizzle and I was sitting there, and I kind of told him, I guess, be praying. We're waiting on some decisions we have to make. And he said, yeah. He said, sometimes I want to know them right away. He said something to that effect. And I said, yeah, that's how we all are, I guess. And I know yesterday in that Houston airport, Kim dropped me off, and we've got accustomed to that. And I went on in and I sat down in a little waiting area they have for people that with disabilities or need a wheelchair or whatever. And that always frustrates me because I always think I can make it and that I don't really need to sit there. And I know you guys say, no, you need to sit there and wait on. But, you want to be independent as long as you can. Another fellow sitting there, and he just had a knee replacement. And I said, hey, and struck up a conversation with him. And he said, hey. I said, how long have you been here? He said, been about 20 minutes. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, well, he said, I guess we just need to be patient, don't we? And I said, yeah, I guess we do. And he said, there was another lady here before me. She'd been here about half an hour, and they just came and got her. They told me they'd be back to get me, but they hadn't been back yet. And I said, well, they only take you from this one waiting area to another waiting area. Then you wait some more. Then they take you somewhere else. I said, I got a good mind. I might just try to go through that security by myself. And he said, well, I don't know if I'm going to try that or not. He said, I got this bad knee. About that time they came and got him. He left, and about after, right after he left, about six other people came. They kept sitting in there. They looked at me, and I told them what he told me, and I told them how long I'd been there. I said, you know what? I think I'm going for it. One woman's eyes got real big, you know. I said, I think I'm going to go. Her husband was with her, and she'd almost failed even getting into the area. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, you see the wheelchairs over there? They said, yeah. I said, well, we're going to hijack a couple of them. And I told them, I said, now I've been coming here a while. I said, don't get the ones with the bar in the back. And they said, why? And I said, because they self-lock and you can't move. I said, then you're frozen out there. And I said, they'll know what you've done. I said, you got to get the ones that just got the handles. And you know, I guess I led a revolt. But myself and six others, here we went. So you can imagine, if you was watching security on a camera, and you see this little disability area, all of a sudden here comes all these people stumbling out. And a guy with one leg on crutches is leading them, and I'm pointing them. Here we go. And so we get up to security, and one lady backs out. She just froze. I don't know if she got too nervous, whatever, but she'd already made it. She didn't realize that she doubled her distance. She'd kept going with us. She'd have got, but anyway, she backed out and went back. So left five of us. And I went up there to that TSA agent, and I said, we're ready to go. So we're going to work it through here on our own. He said, well, come on. And so we all got through there together. But see, we had, I guess, confidence. And had, I had faith in the Lord that he'd help us get through there, I guess is my way of saying. I just felt like I needed to go on, and I didn't try to talk to him into anything. But you know what? As we look here, it said, therefore, while looking to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And I guess we could have just put it, I guess in today's application, just for us sitting there, we could have kept waiting. And maybe we should have. But we were impatient. But sometimes when you're waiting on God, you don't need to get up and go out on your own like we did. You need to wait and see what his answer may be. Because sometimes you may make the wrong choice, and we could have done that yesterday. That lady could have fallen, one of the other men could have fallen, I could have fallen. But we got our wheelchairs, and here we went, and we got through. And once we got through on the other side, got through the security, of course, they were tickled to death. They said, we've never done that before. We've always had to wait. And I said, well, you're free to go now. I said, you can go anywhere you want in this place. And when they come get you, see, they expect a tip, too. And I looked at them. I said, you just saved yourself $5. I said, there's Chick-fil-A. I pointed right at it. I said, go over and get you a chicken sandwich. And time Kim come around, I heard a voice behind me. And, of course, I heard her. Of course, then I knew it wouldn't be M-A-D. But I was hoping it wouldn't be T-R-O-U-B-L-E. I looked over my shoulder, and there she stood. She'd already caught up with me, parked the car, come back around. And I just grinned real big. Oh, we made it. We did fine, you know. And so she was with me from then on. But I say that to them. You say, why did you share that little story with us? I said, well, sometimes I say how impatient we get. Because we did take a risk in doing that. But when you're waiting on God and the things of God, sometimes, see, we get impatient. And we try to make a move on our own. And sometimes that can get us into trouble. And we need to wait. And I think that's what he's saying here. And if you go on over and read in verses 8, 9, 10, you'll see God's got a concern for Israel and his people. Well, God also has a concern for us. And in our lives, and our families, and our requests, and what our prayers are. And I wanted to start out with that because we look at other places here. We're going to look at that, you know, we watch with expectation, but sometimes the expectation is not what we want. I worked with a guy, and he wanted a certain type of car one time. They told him, said, oh, you can't get that. So they're, as soon as they hit the lot, they sell them. And I told you guys this story before, I believe. But anyway, just to make it real short, he called me one day, said, I'm going to be a little late for work. Says, I'm going down to the lot. They said, it has some cars come in. And I said, well, that's odd. They just told you yesterday they rarely ever come in. They said, oh, they got a truckload down there. I said, I can get them when they roll right off the truck. And I said, well, I said, they may not, you know, change the price any. Oh, no, they said I had to pay the sticker, but if I wanted it, that's what I had to get. And so he got them right as they rolled off the truck. So his expectation, he was wanting it. But I think after it was said and done 6 months later, I think he realized it. He should have waited a little longer. The answer they called and gave him is not really exactly what he was looking for. And let's turn over and we'll look at some of those examples. But again, Micah here, I think, reminds us that God loves us. And he said he'd look into the Lord. He says, wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. So let's turn over and look in a few places. Turn over to Psalms. We'll be there mostly today. Psalms chapter 5, if you would. And, of course, David, if you're going to look anywhere in the Bible for someone who knew about patience and waiting on God and his answer and loving God, it would have been David. And as we see here in Scripture. But here, this is a prayer for protection in Psalm 5, if you would. And this is where I was talking about watch with expectation. But sometimes you may get unexpected answers. And David knew that and said, well, we'll start with verse number one. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. As he looks there and begins to pray, he says, ask him to be gracious. Listen to him. And as he begins to pray and to hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. You go back and look at verse 3, it said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. We talk about that quite often, how Jesus prayed in the morning. And something about just getting up early in the morning and praying, or just being alone with God. You know, my mother used to tell me too, she'd say, you make a better decision in the morning. She said, your mind will be clearer. It's not jumbled up. And you know, you think about that a lot of times when you wake up in the mornings, you clear thoughts, clear mind. That's the time to get along with the Lord and to study. I think that's what David's saying here. He said, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and we'll look up. And you look up and say, well, he's looking up as he's praying. And well, as I read that, I thought, no, that's looking up, I think, for an answer. He's waiting in expectation. He knows God hears his prayer. And he knows there's an answer coming. But he just waits patiently for that. And as you go on through and read that psalm, that's what you'll see. And you go over into Psalm 6, there's a prayer for mercy, a prayer for deliverance. And this is a prayer for protection. And in Psalm 4, he starts with just a prayer to trust in God and to put our lives in his hands. So as we look here this morning, while waiting on God and while we wait, Micah tells us, don't forget, so God hears you. What David tells us here, he says, you need to watch, you need to look up with expectation because he's going to answer you. It just sometimes it might not be the answer you expected, or it might not come in the time frame you expect. Psalm 130, you'll flip over there, and we'll stay in the same book if you would with me this morning. It won't take us long. We'll look at just having hope in his word, in God's word, Psalm 130. Let me find it here. I found the right place. Psalm 130. Let's see, verse number 4. Might do Psalm 130, verse 4, 5, and 6. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Here, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they watch for the morning. I said, more than they that watch for the morning. And they're waiting on the Lord. In other words, with patience. And he said, even though more so than those that watch for the morning and the morning watch and someone's on guard duty. And, of course, I think about that. And my father-in-law would tell me about being on military in the military and being on duty at night. And he'd be relieved in the mornings. He'd have to watch it walk at fence line sometimes or when he's overseas, walk the base and wherever he'd be. And he'd say, I looked forward to that. Said, anxiously, wait for that sunrise to come up. And I thought about that as I read that. It said he was excited because he knew relief was coming. What David is saying here, he said, I even watch and wait on the Lord even more so in anticipation for an answer from God than I do even, my soul does, than even for those that watch in the morning or for the morning to come. And so as we look and we had God hears us, we saw in Micah, and we watch for, I guess, and wait for the expected answers. We look up after prayers. We also have hope in God's word as well. We know it's coming, and that hope's not a hope like we've said before, and we always use an example, and it goes back to a Billy Mitchell example that I've always heard. It's not like you're expecting your battery to crank on your car. It's more than a different hope than that. This is real. Something you know it's going to happen. It's like a hope of salvation. It's not, well, I hope I'm saved, but it's coming. It's real. And let's just go on and look, and we'll move on, and I'll keep you guys. Proverbs, if you go over there, Proverbs 3, you know this one. A lot of you quote it. I could probably try to quote it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to get it exactly right. This is one at Proverbs 3. verses 5 and 6. Let's see here. We'll start up verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, we've talked about the value of our heart before and protecting it. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to their bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither he weary of his correction. But verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And you know, that's one of the hardest things I think I found myself to do, especially over the last few years. You say, what do you mean by trusting in the Lord? And especially after just being saved, you go back and you look at your life, and it's just a blessing that you've, Lord had mercy to allow me to continue to live and bring me to the place to be saved. That's a blessing in all of us, whether you've been saved 50 years or 5 months. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And you know, but what comes back to us is lean not to thine own understanding. If you trace that out, that goes back to that word pride. Sometimes we want to put ourselves or think that maybe we know more what's best than what God knows. And so as we saw here, it said God hears us. Let's watch for his and look up for his expected answers. Let's look for his hope in his word. We're told here to trust in the Lord. And if you look at that word trust, that means total trust. You know, I think about when I took those little men and women, we all, I guess, went on a rampage there or went broke out of the disability area, you know, and took off. They had to have a little bit of trust in me. They'd never met me or didn't know me. Now, I'm not talking about trust like you do in the Lord, but they had to say, well, this guy must know what he's talking about. He's got us in our wheelchairs, and here we go. And he must know how to do it, and because he'd done it before. And as they went out, I guess we followed and got through. But I'm sure there was a few of them, and I talk about that one lady who she got there, and she backed out. And there was nothing wrong with that because things could have went wrong. They could have called and said, no, all you guys have got to go back. You got to have an escort to go through security. But that's not what they did. They let us go. And so as I think about that sometimes in a deeper basis, again, that's just a simple example. But trusting in the Lord, you got to be all in, so to speak. You got to be all in. And got to be all in with the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And I think when I get back to that, I say sometimes that's hard for me to do and try not to lean to my own understanding. In other words, trying not to make the decision myself. You know, we've heard preached here before, pastors mentioned it. We've had visiting preachers. We've heard it in Sunday school class, Brother John, Brother Grizzle, others have mentioned before. And have talked over the years, I remember, about trying to not lean to our own understanding or think that, oh, I should have heard something by now. I wonder what's the best thing for me to do and not wait on God. And I'm not just talking about an illness or sickness, but I'm talking about things at home, maybe financial, maybe what the Lord have you do in the church, etc. So let's move on as we look at the time. Yeah, I got about 6 minutes left. I think we can do that because that should have put us through about number 4 or 5. Let's look at Psalms 37, if you'll go back over there with me. I think it's Psalm 37, 7 and 8, and we'll zip right on through these here. Try not to fret, try not to be angry. Try to be still. And in all things, when you pray, ourselves, try to choose patience. And be patient and see what the Lord says. And this is actually talking about the state of the wicked here, Psalms is, here in 37, David is. But if we'll just take a few verses here and look into these verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord. And here's that word, patiently. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. In other words, don't fret because of what's going on around you. You know, we talked about our nation already. the problems we see around us. What he's saying here is don't fret because things look bad. I'm in control is what God says. Don't worry. I know the beginning from the end. Sometimes it's hard for us, I know, to remember that. It says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse number 8, he tells us, says, in those situations, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Again, he uses that word. It must be pretty important. Fret. Don't worry. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Words, rely on the Lord. Put it in the Lord's hands. Be patient. As we've told in, of course, Psalm 5 is watch. Look up. The answer comes from above. Let's move on. As I said I would, I'd move on to another one. Let's go on to, Lamentations. We don't use Lamentations a lot. I was looking for areas in the Bible about waiting and fretting. And let's go to Lamentations 3. You don't have to turn there. It's just a verse or two. But be strong and take courage in the Lord. And in Lamentations here, I think it's chapter 3, verse number 25. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that, here's that word again, wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. The Lord is good unto them, going back up to verse number 25, that wait for him to the soul that seeketh him. Be strong and take courage and experience God's goodness. And as David already told us earlier, to look up and to wait. Let's go on a few more places. We'll be done. Give you an example over in the New Testament. I always like to try to use an example. It always helps me. I'm a visual learner. I always have been, or a listener. I like to listen or to look at something being drawn out, and I can understand it better if I hear it. So here's an example over in Acts chapter 1. Someone who's, or I guess not someone, but a group of men that waited on God. And we see what happened over in chapter 2, of course, the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. He said, what does that have to do with while waiting on God? Well, I'm going to back up a few verses or a chapter and go to chapter 1 and see verse number 3. He said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he told the disciples, said to wait. He said, just wait. And they did, as we see over here in chapter number 2, and that's why I wanted to read that first. And of course, you know what happened from that. That's what we look at as beginning of the new church age that we're in today. But they were told to wait, and they did. They wait and listened. From God and the Holy Spirit, of course, as we see here, moved on in the day of Pentecost. Two more places will be done. Colossians 4. If we would, if you want to stay with me, or I'll turn over there. Let's see here, Colossians 4, 2, I believe it is. Again, about being watchful. I think it's verse chapter 4. Yeah, it is. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Oh, yeah, verse number 2 is what I need. Continue in prayer and watch. Be watchful and watch. In the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open up unto us a door of utterance, speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. We need to continue to pray for our pastors and evangelists, missionaries, so as we have our own prayers being uttered and sent up to God the Father and hears those, we need to remember to pray for others as well. Be steadfast in prayer for one another. Be watchful. Last but not least, Isaiah, and we're done. Going back to the Old Testament, we finished this morning. Isaiah, what did I say? I think it's Isaiah 30. And we're finished. And that really gives us, if you go back and count, I think about 9 or 10 verses of advice when we're waiting on God. See, verse number 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. You say, wait a second, everything else has been toward us waiting on God, and advice and waiting on God. But this particular verse says, but will the Lord wait? And what it does, it shows God's grace toward us. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. The Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait on him. So in the same verse, it tells us that wait on him and we're blessed. God is a God of mercy and judgment. But at the same time, at the beginning, it tells us, he said, will the Lord wait, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. In other words, he's waiting on us. He loves us. And that's all I have this morning. I hope that's maybe been a blessing to you, something to give you an encouragement to, while waiting on God, think about other scripture and what God encourages us to do. And you know, as David said, look up. He said, that's where our help cometh from. All right, got time to visit a little bit this morning.